long history of the cinema is littered with novel ideas and technologies that just never quite caught on. Most forgotten ideas had to do with what we saw on the screen, but for one speaker company and a major film studio in the 1970s, the big idea was sonic. It was called Sensoround. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Universal Pictures released four action and disaster movies in the 1970s with the ground-shaking technology called Sensoround, and I'm delighted to discuss the history and legacy of this novel sonic invention with James Fino, producer and partner in the production company Starburns Industries. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, great. It's super to talk to you again. You've been a frequent guest on the show and are quickly becoming an expert in Sensoround. I know you just completed two rare screenings of two of the Sensoround films from the 70s at the American Cinematheque or the Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard in L.A. How did that go?
We had a great turnout. And actually, what made it even special or more special were the guests that we had attending. We screened 1978's Battlestar Galactica, the feature film version. Most of us know the original TV show, you know, the ABC aired, but they did release it in theaters with a special Sensoround effect. And we were able to bring in, actually, the show creator, Glenn Larson, who is, of course, an iconic television producer. And he actually flew in all the way from Houston just for that night, just so that he could be with the audience and actually see Galactica in Sensoround, which he said he had never seen in Sensoround. And so he was really pleased to be able to do that. And also joining us were the series writer, Terry McDonald, who was also a writer on The $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman. Hmm. Also, we had visual effects expert model maker, Pat McClung, who not only worked on the feature, but also the series as well, and Buck Rogers.
And, of course, Battlestar Galactica, I guess, would be the back bookend of the very short-lived Sensoround era. You started with the film that kicked it all off.
Right. The next night, we actually showed Earthquake, which was the very first film which the technique was used. It was released in November of 1974. And it was, as you say, a very unique experience that Universal launched. At that time, subwoofers were not being employed as part of the speaker system in theaters. And so Universal engineers went ahead and created the dynamic by dialing in and creating subsonic frequencies that these subwoofers would deliver across the entire theater at hertz that were low as like 15 to 18 hertz. And as loud as 120 decibel, which is just below human hearing, but definitely strong enough to feel through your body.
Right.
And they were able to rumble the entire theater and causing some minor damage in some structures, actually, that were older, but creating a very effective movie-going experience, which is really one of the pioneering effects that precedes the 4D experiences that a lot of theme parks have now.
Hmm. And the other two films, I guess, between Earthquake and Battlestar Galactica were?
Midway in 1976 with Charlton Heston again, and also Roller Coaster, which was a thriller with Timothy Bottoms. All four of those action movies, Earthquake, Midway, Roller Coaster, and Battlestar Galactica, are being released on Blu-ray. In fact, three of them have already been released in Blu-ray with what they call a Sensoround track on there for the home theaters who are able to deliver the subsonic frequencies. But, of course, nothing can compare to being in a theater and feeling the effects of these gigantic speakers. At the time, Sirwin Vega speakers were employed, and these housings were literally 6 feet tall, each one of these speakers. You could walk into them, and they had them installed in front of the theater and in the rear of the theater so that basically you were it was a very immersive experience.
And they often had to take, I think, a couple of rows out of the front of just to make room for these things. I seem to recall seeing at least one of these films in Sensoround in El Paso.
Absolutely. In fact, Earthquake was showing at the old Fox Theater, which was there at Bassett Center,
yes.
Which is no longer there, of course. But for those of you who remember, Bassett Center had the Fox Theaters there, and they showed Earthquake, and they also showed Midway. And both of those films, they did a great job. In fact, Earthquake was only released like in 300 theaters across the U.S. with Sten Surround initially, and it kind of had to travel in a traveling show because it took 3 days to install the equipment and test it to make sure it was working properly.
When you look at the four features, Earthquake, Midway, Roller Coaster, and Battlestar Galactica, I think you can almost see in your mind which scenes SenSurround may have accompanied, because this was not a technology that would have run through the entire film. It was used judiciously to punctuate particular scenes.
Right. And for Earthquake, of course, naturally, only the scenes where we had the pre-shocks and the earthquake and the aftershocks. But for Midway, you know, anything accompanying the roar, the engines of the planes, the explosions and the cannons, and then for Roller Coaster, of course, the rattling of the roller coaster track. All of that was really effective and a lot of fun, you know. But it only makes sense, of course, in big event type of movies. In fact, we were joking that with today's technology, because we can replicate this technology digitally now, we could pretty much apply it with comical effects to most anything. But at the time, this was very unique, and it was also one of those gimmicks to try to lure people away from their home television and into the theater, because it was something that you could only experience in the theater.
Yeah, and Universal, of course, had a huge success in 75 with Jaws, and we're looking for ways to create that spectacular event of going out to the movies. But this was only Universal. It was only these four films. There were quite a number of theaters, I was surprised to learn, that installed all of this equipment, but it really never fully caught on. What was the underpinning of why we don't still have SenSurround, or maybe we do? I guess
the modern version of SenSurround really is the evolution of incorporating subwoofers.
Yeah.
And much more dynamic, lower-range sound frequencies in our soundtracks and in the theaters now. But definitely not to the extent which SenSurround employed them. But it was just the sheer expense of having people physically go into the theaters and have to install these speaker systems. And also what happened, side effects of the constant rumbling were that some people got nauseous from all the rumbling. So, you know, it's not something that people probably want to experience every time they go to the theater, but only in special circumstances was it very effective.
I think the other thing is, when you think of the 70s, and you mentioned Earthquake playing at the Fox Theater at Bassett Center, is the 70s were really the end of an era where chains were building single or double screen theaters. The 80s saw the explosion of the Cineplex, where you have 10, 15, 20 screens. And I think we've all had the experience of watching a movie and hearing the movie next door rumbling through the wall.
Exactly. In fact, you know, some of the early side effects of Earthquake, which people started to complain about, were that if they were watching The Godfather Part II next door, all they could hear was, you know, they could feel the earthquake while they were watching The Godfather. And so there were, of course, the practical things that happened. In fact, our screening, you know, when we did Earthquake, we were able to have Monica Lewis join us, who was the actress who portrayed Barbara, Lauren Green's secretary, in the movie. And in real life, she was married to Jennings Lang, who was the executive producer of Earthquake, and she also stars in Airport 1975 as a stewardess. At our panel, she described that when they went to Rome to exhibit Earthquake for the distributors there, the system they had set up was so powerful that it actually destroyed all of the dishware and the barware of the restaurant next door, and they had to replace everything.
Oh my gosh. I guess we should think of it as not so much a failed technology, but just an early technology that then morphed into what we have today, which is the low-frequency effects that pretty much every film playing right now in the Cineplex is using.
Exactly. Before then, you know, Dolby wasn't really known as far as a player for the theater sound. They were definitely developing the noise reduction. But after Earthquake, with the subwoofers being incorporated, then they developed much more, you know, much richer soundtracks that were able to be basically performed for the audience. And that's, you know, what we know now. And so people started being lured to the theater then, knowing that if it was a Dolby theater, that they were going to get superior sound quality. And then, of course, after that, in the 80s, we had THX, which then took over, and then people would go to the theaters in droves to make sure it was a THX theater. So I think the sound the evolution of sound in theater, you know, has really taken its lead, I think, from Synthesound in some aspects. And we have Earthquake and Jennings Lang and Universal to thank for that.
I want to ask you, because you've put these screenings together, and even though these films are not quite 40 years old, you've had to become quite the detective to track down the actual Synthesound prints and even the boxes used to transmit the right frequencies to those subwoofers.
That's right. I mean, this last time, I did this screening of Earthquake and Synthesound back in 2009 at the Egyptian as part of a disaster film festival we did with featuring some of the classics from the 1970s. And it was very effective. We sold out. Over 600 people filled the theater, and we even have people, you know, lining down the street trying to get in. And this time when we did it, the gentleman who actually loaned his equipment the first time around was not available, and neither was his equipment, so we had to kind of scramble to try to look for equipment that was available from other suppliers. And these boxes are very rare now. Every now and then they turn up on eBay from Europe or somewhere, but these are really old metal housings, and basically with old circuitry cards. For Earthquake, one card was basically a noise generator that had the waveform of the actual 1971 Sylmer earthquake. And trigger codes on the film print would actually trigger the noise generator to start off and generate the rumble for the theater. And then later they were modified, so there were like actually about four different kinds of boxes. There were three modes that were developed as the movies progressed in complexity. And so we had to find one box that worked for Earthquake and another box that worked for Battlestar Galactica because they were not interchangeable. And then we had to basically find connectors that worked with the modern equipment. So all in all, this was some kind of detective work we had to do and find people that worked from the 1970s on the Synthesound system. And actually, when I called up Universal, after a few weeks of tracking people down, they supplied me with the actual binder dated 1974 for the installation of a Synthesound in all the theaters, which was quite a find. And actually, a lot of the collectors that I was working with, you know, cheered when I was able to unearth it because it had information that they were missing from, you know, from their home systems that were almost hobbyists, that these collectors that collect these boxes. And so all in all, we learned that we can't just put one of these together in a week. You know, you need months of preparatory work to make sure that the equipment is still up and running, because these boxes are about 40 years old. Some of them had never been tested before. And then you have to figure out if it's going to work in the modern system and the modern wiring of the theater. So all in all, a big learning experience for all of us. The audience satisfaction was all we wanted, and we had a great turnout and great experience. We're really excited to do a second part of this screening series and try to do Roller Coaster and Midway as well. Unfortunately, those prints are rare and pretty hard to find. It seems that Universal may have lost their prints in the fire that they had a few years ago. So if anyone out there, if there's any collectors that have Roller Coaster Midway, please contact Chuck and let me know. We'd like to take this show on the road and actually have it there in El Paso in the near future.
I've been discussing the briefly used low-frequency sonic theater system called Synthesound with El Paso expat James Fino. Fino is a member of the Producers Guild of America, a partner in the Los Angeles production company Starburns Industries, and increasingly an expert in the short-lived technology of Synthesound. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.